Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 12:04, McMonagle here with you. Welcome to Tuesday morning, 888-808-1019. Playing a little Beatles here for you. This is where it kicks in right here. Ba-da-da-da-da. He's trying to make me happy or piss me off. I don't know, one or the other. I'm already pissed off.
Why?
Because the Giants pissed me off this week.
The game ended like 3 days ago.
Not 3 days ago. Not to me, it didn't. Just ended. I haven't had a chance. I usually get my opportunity to get right to it. That night, I get to yell about it. I had to wait a long time. And I put my neck out on the line for this coach. Don't they understand? Him and Cashman and Boone. Don't you guys get it? Can someone help me out here? Good Lord. It just, because you know what, I think about the line that John Mara gave when he brought them in, last year at the end of the year, right? When he said, I don't know how many wins I need, I just better be in a better mood, right? And like, I didn't like the tenor of that entire press conference or that entire meeting with the media. I don't think it was a press conference, but he met with the media at the facility. I always thought that it should have been explained, hey, you know, we lost these 3 years. Year one hurt us for a myriad of reasons to build up the rest of these other 2 years. I believe in these guys. I think they have a good plan. I'm going to give them another chance to rebuild as opposed to let me give them another chance to just have a winning season. Because as ugly as it's been, like, if you're going to keep them through this decision of drafting the quarterback, like, I feel like they should, like, you want them to be able to continue on as long as it's working. And so when you say better mood, like, I was in a better mood. And I know many Giant fans weren't. I was in a better mood. I saw Jackson Dart, who's going to be the future of this franchise, playing his ass off. I saw them really competitive against three playoff teams who, when we did the win-loss, Mike Francesa, you know, Mike and the Mad Dog, win-loss, win-loss. We did a lot of loss. Denver Broncos on the road, clearly loss. Home against the Chargers, loss. Home against the Eagles, loss. And instead, they won a couple of those games, and they were right there. They were playing solid football. I was in that better mood. I was. I was surprised fans want to fly things over the stadium. Jackson Dart's playing great. They've won a couple games we never would have suspected they won. And they're playing a level of football that feels different to me than what it felt like watching the Giants the last couple of years. Yesterday, or now Sunday, felt completely the same as the crap that we saw the 2 years prior. Felt exactly the same. That's why today is frustrating. That's why watching that game was frustrating. That's why now this season and the way it plays out here. And I'm still willing to give, I'm not going to stand here on the table and say he has to be fired. Let's see how the season plays out. But there better not be any more games like that. If there are any more games like that, then what are we doing? And I know many of you are there already. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Philip in Freeport. What's up, Phil?
How are you? Not too good, as I'm hearing your whole, thing. Right. Listen, once they start flying the planes over the stadium, that's not a good sign. No pun intended. That's very, very bad. And whoever put those words in, enough is enough.
I'm in the minority, I suppose. I didn't think that plane was warranted flying over the building.
Well, listen.
I didn't. Last year I understood it. This year I didn't.
How many wins does he have? What was it, 11 and 37, something like that?
Yeah, I think they've lost 20 of their last 26.
It's terrible. I mean, yeah. Yet the coach, you're very smart. Come on, you're a big Giant fan. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And I've killed them. I've killed them. To me, but my only point with this is mm-hmm. like when you draft the young quarterback and you start from there, I don't necessarily view it as a regular year four of the, mm-hmm. I feel like it kind of gets a little bit of all right, well, this is a whole brand new, we are getting the rookie quarterback. We're starting fresh. Right. We're going to the rookie quarterback mm-hmm. this season. I view it as kind of a reset. I don't necessarily view it as a traditional year four. I don't take all those losses with me.
Right.
I'm kind of viewing it from this year on. And
by the way, Chris, I'm sorry. It's terrible. They lost Neighbors. He lost Scott. Yeah. It's a gigantic hit. I mean, this guy, the running back, was the life of the party. I mean, he was really. And let me ask you a question before you hit the old dump button here. I need two comments. two comments here.
Yeah.
Do you think him flipping all over the place possibly might have loosened tension? Come on, Phil. Wait a minute now. The guy's slipping all over the place, and then he gets hurt. Okay, he lost. It was a really bad slide on the ankle. I mean, it was terrible.
Oh, you're talking about Scannaboo?
Right. I mean, don't you think that had something to do with it? But last thing, I love to go to
flipping.
Jets.
When he does the backflips and everything.
Yeah, I mean, don't you?
No,
think that?
No, I don't know about that. I
I'm reaching for that. Okay.
Yeah.
How about this one, guys? How about this one, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
And really focus on this one. You want me to go to Jets, I'll do that. But don't you think that the NFL, I mean, almost all of sports, all the other people get is the finished product. Daniel Jones, this, that, Porzingis. I mean, why wait for the draft? Love your show, man. We'll talk soon. Okay? I don't want.
I'm not sure what you meant by that, the finished product. I'll get to it. I want to talk about whether or not the Giants should be aggressive at the trade deadline. I think they should be. I want to get this. I want help. I want to help this kid. That's what I want. I'm not looking this as like a dead. You can't scream. And here's my point for any fans who don't think it's a good idea to go trade for someone. You can't scream that wins are everything and all I care about is winning. That's it. Don't give me tanking. Don't give me nonsense. It's about my team winning football games. You can't tell me that it's about winning football games and then tell me I don't want to help this team. Well, the season's already dead, Chris, at 2-7. It wasn't dead at 2-6. You seem to be pretty pissed off, me too, that they lost Sunday. Like, you can't scream the coach needs to win or he's going to get – or we have to fire him. It's about winning. We're not winning enough. You got to win, win, win. And then not be willing to go help this team win.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
He needs someone who's going to catch the ball. The drop pass from Theo Johnson on the third down is a killer. If they go down the field there and score, the game feels different. That's a killer drop on third down. Slayton in the end zone. The game's probably lost at that point, but you can't drop that ball. He needs another weapon. The neighbors lost. And that's part of it, too. The neighbors lost. Now Scadaboo. The two defensive backs where the defense has just fallen apart. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't. There should be a level of backup. There should be a level of depth in the defensive backfield where it doesn't turn to this because you lose two guys. And I know Flott was out, too. It still shouldn't be this. And I put that more on the GM than I do the coach. You got neighbors, you got Scadaboo, you got your defense falling apart in the defensive backfield with three key injuries and no depth whatsoever to take over. Again, that's why I'm saying I didn't necessarily demand victories. That's just not how I view it. When you go to a rookie quarterback, I've said this all week, I still believe it. It's not about necessarily getting a certain number of wins. I needed to see the quarterback continue to play well and a level of play. No more pushovers. No more games where they're dominated. No more games where it looks like they don't belong. No more of that nonsense. If they lost by a field goal to the 49ers, I'd probably feel different right now. If it was just a loss, if they played well and their defense stunk, but the offense continued to play well and they lost that game 31-27 or, 33-30 on a last second field goal, I might not feel this way. But they were run over by a banged up team. They were dominated by a team they should have been competitive with. That's why I'm pissed. That's why. It's not just the wins, losses. It's not for me. It's not for me. I view this different. It's not a traditional year four for me. It's not how I view it. I understand that you can't just pretend those first 3 years didn't happen. The record is what the record is. I get it. And the idea that we don't trust him to go get out of this the way we would a rookie coach, or you know, we would still have some faith in a rookie coach. We have less faith because we've seen losing the last 2 years. I get all that, but to me, when you it starts with Dart. From the game they started with Dart till now, that's what I really focus on. And they were going in a positive direction. You can say they weren't; they were. And then yesterday, Sunday blew the whole thing up. Dave in Westchester. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I want to talk about the 90 Giants and then the modern-day Giants.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Yes. Why do you want to do that?
I want to talk about how the Giants won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback and a running back that was only activated on the day of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And like how, I don't know, we don't have that reaction time nowadays, you know?
No, we don't. I don't know the relevancy of Jeff Hostetler and what's going on now. I don't know. I don't know what your point is exactly. That, you know, you can win with a backup quarterback. Yeah, I mean, he's not the only one. We've seen Super Bowls with Nick Foles won as a backup quarterback. You know, it's rare, but it happens. But yeah, I didn't get the connection. Ben in Muncie. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I just want to point out how terrible the Giants' offensive play calling in. It's like Dart wasn't allowed to throw the ball more than 10 yards
down
the
field. Yeah, they were not with a banged-up team with no pass rush. They're either unable to get any separation or any receivers open down the field, or they called a very conservative game plan. I think it's probably a mixture of both.
How could you, like, expect to have anything short when you establish nothing over 10 yards? It's like, it's not possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I think some of the game plan, game calling was very conservative, but I also think, unfortunately, like, you look at this wide receiving core, who's getting open? Who's getting separation right now? Like, that, I mean, that's part of it. Wandell Robinson might be able to get open. It's not going deep. Outside of the Cowboys, who let him run up the seam for whatever reason in game number 2 this year, untouched and unguarded, outside of that, he doesn't get separation going down the field. Slayton can at times, and then he drops the ball when you put it right in his hands. Like, their wide receivers right now are atrocious. They're just not good. They're not good. They're not good enough. The players on the team are not good enough. And that's much more. I'm reading things right now that people suspect that Joe Shane is more comfortable in his job and more, you know, has a better chance of keeping it than Brian Daboll. I can't understand that for the life of me. For the life of me. For the life. I don't understand that at all. I don't know what Joe Shane has shown that he's putting a better product on the field than the coach has handled that product. I honestly don't see that. I mean, how many first-round picks has he whiffed on? Hyatt can't play. Evan Neal can't play. Banks can't play. They lost their starting cornerback, and it went to crap. The entire defense went to crap. They have no wide receiving depth outside of when Neighbors went down. They don't have anybody to get the ball to down the field. I don't know how you could put this more on the coach. You want to put it on the coach? Fine, I'm with you. It's Sunday, a lot on the coach. And a lot on the coach over the last handful. I was talking, like, to me, and I made this very clear. It might not have come out in the if you saw the 30-second clips they put out on social media, which I said they didn't doctor the audio, but I've had more of a nuanced argument. Like, I wanted the quarterback continuing to play this well. I do think the relationship between the quarterback and the coach is important. I do think that's working well. But you have to also give me a level of play. And the level of play wasn't there on Sunday. Plain and simple. Level of play wasn't there on Sunday. And the defense flat out gave up. The offense didn't give up because they have a leader quarterback. The defense gave up. I mean, that was a embarrassing performance. Embarrassing. Eric in Staten Island. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
What more do you need to see to say that Dable is not a real coach? He's more an offensive coordinator than a coach. I agree with you. Shane needs to go, too. But Dable, he has to go, too, before he ruins Jackson's daughter.
Yeah, I don't, I guess. I mean, I'm not, look, I'm upset by Sunday, and the losing's the losing, so I can't stand here and say he has to stay, but like, you say he's more of an offensive coordinator. A lot of the problems I had with him, like, what did he do as a head coach? Like, the players giving up? Like, that, I mean, some self-pride, too, you know? Like, Tiki was talking about it today. Some self-pride. Like, he didn't have any game clock management. He kicked a field goal instead of going for a touchdown, you know, at the beginning of the third quarter. I mean, that's a debatable point. Some people think that was the right move. Like, I don't know, like, other than losing the football games, like, you say he's maybe an offensive coordinator. What about his offensive coordinating is good? Like, that was as much of a problem I had with him in the game Sunday than he did. Like, what about his head coaching style in that game makes you believe he can't be a head coach? Because all you're going to tell me is they don't win football games. That's all you're going to tell me.
Oh, he only loves one play. He loves Jackson Dart. He's supposed to love the whole team.
How do you know he doesn't love the whole team?
He said, yesterday's press conference, he says, I love the kid.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the team? You gotta get. He doesn't hold the defensive coordinator accountable. Mm-hmm. He hired him.
Yep.
He hired him. He doesn't want to fire him for some unknown reason. The defensive coordinator should have been gone. Kafka, he takes the offensive play calling from him. Like, what is he really doing to show you that he's a coach?
No, he's working with the quarterback. And they won two games. Like, and I know it's only I'm saying the quarterback is playing great. He picked the quarterback. He's working with the quarterback. He gets credit for the quarterback playing well. The quarterback is playing well. They won a game against two teams none of us would have suspected they would have beaten. They were more than a touchdown underdog in both games. They were the undefeated Chargers, and then it was the Philadelphia Eagles who have owned the Giants forever. Those two wins, the way they played against I know they had the fourth quarter blow up. They were dominating the Denver Broncos, dominating them. The Denver Broncos are what, 7-2, 6-2 right now, 7-2, and in first place in a division that has the Kansas City Chiefs in it. They went into that building while Denver was talking crap all week. So they were up for the game. And that defense played great. The offense was moving the football. They were kicking the crap out of the Denver Broncos. Those two wins and kicking the crap on the road out of a team that is now 7-2 for three quarters is unlike what we have seen and a vast improvement. And I wasn't alone in that opinion. That was a vast improvement, those couple of weeks right there. Those 4 weeks, even while losing two of the games, one was against the Saints and they turned the ball over five times, where they were the better team in that game too. They beat the Chargers, they beat the Eagles, and they kicked the crap out of the Denver Broncos until their two best defensive backs went down and the defense fell apart and the quarterback made one mistake. To me, maybe I'm crazy, those 4 weeks are different than what we saw in the previous two seasons. Those 4 weeks made me, the way the quarterback was playing and the way the team was playing for those 4 weeks had me more bullish on Brian Dable. 100% did. 100%. And I don't know why a lot of people aren't willing to at least acknowledge that part of it. Now, this was ugly, and there's been too much losing, and now they're 2-7. So I get it. I get it. But from the minute that Holland and Adebo went down, And that defense fell apart in the fourth quarter. Up until that point, we are talking about how the Giants are legitimately a good football team. We are talking about how the Giants are going to go play the Eagles to be 4-4 and in the mix for the postseason and the division. And the coach was unable to keep that momentum. The coach was unable to keep that going. It was there. It was there. You don't want to admit it. It was there. Chargers, Eagles, Broncos. Playoff team, defending champ, division leader. They played those three teams incredibly well. That's different than what we saw the previous 2 years. The Giants laid down for those type of teams the last 2 years. It was different. You don't have to admit it. You don't have to like it. And it doesn't have to change your opinion on what should happen with the coach and the GM. But that was different. And now the last 2 weeks, and particularly this Sunday against the 49ers, felt exactly the same. The regression has happened. They are back to being the lousy football team that didn't show up. And I was hoping those days were over. And if those days were over and the quarterback played great and they won a couple of games down the stretch, I would have been for keeping the coach. That's me. You don't have to agree. But they didn't keep it. If they would have kept that momentum, if they would have won this game, if they would have fought hard in this game, if they would have lost because their defensive backfield's atrocious and lost by a field goal, but it was right there for them to have and they blew it and played well next week and played well the week after that, even in some losses because it's a tough schedule against good football teams, as long as the quarterback's playing well and they're fighting and playing well, I would be okay with keeping the coach despite losing. Because to me, when you start the rookie quarterback, it's just as much about him as it is about winning and losing. And then next year would become about winning. But you can't revert back to the slop we saw Sunday. And you can't have your players giving up. You can't have your players, you know, answering questions about how the building is a San Francisco 49er home game. Like, there are just some things that just can't happen. And they happened on Sunday. And it's made me reevaluate my opinion on the coach, clearly. I think that game, absolutely, with the level of give up from the defense, the level of just terrible play calling and the way the offense got stagnant in the first half when they had an opportunity to stay in the game. Just everything about that game made me feel differently than I did going into it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We'll talk more about the Giants. We'll get to the Jets, and we still don't know who their quarterback is as they get ready to take their season back on after the bye week. Knicks with a dominant second half and big victory over the Wizards, find themselves 4-3. And everybody's opting out. We'll get to that as well as the baseball season's over. And we haven't even talked. I talked about Game 6 on Saturday. I didn't even have a chance to talk about this amazing World Series and the 7-game series and Game 7. That was as good a World Series. I'm partial to the 2001 World Series, but there were some real stinkers. You know, the Yankees kind of got blown out in a couple games. But, you know, the 3 games at Yankee Stadium and Game 7, as much as it pains me to remember it because it went, you know, the Diamondbacks way and not the Yankees way. But this is one of the best World Series we've ever seen. It was an incredible series with incredible plays, incredible situations. And, you know, I know I called the Blue Jays frauds. They are certainly not frauds, but let's not mince words either. They blew it. Like, they're not frauds. They went toe-to-toe with the best team in baseball, but they had every opportunity to win that series, and they blew it. They blew Game 6 with just a disastrous base running play, an inability to do what they do. Like, that's the other thing. We talk about their approach and contact. They had multiple scenarios at the end of both of these games to just make the right kind of contact and score the game-winning run and be champions, and their approach failed them. So while they had an incredible run, and they do things the way a lot of Yankee fans want to do them, and sure, we can all incorporate more contact into the game. Absolutely. The Yankees should absolutely be a little bit more like the Blue Jays, and they should spend more money and be a little bit more like the Dodgers. And we'll get into that, obviously, as we get into the offseason here. But the fact of the matter is, the Blue Jays had every opportunity to win that series, and they blew it. They blew it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 12:34. McMonagle here with you. I got you for another hour and a half until 2 o'clock. I'll be in for Keith all week. Tomorrow is a 5-hour ride to midnight from 7 to midnight. And then I think I'll be on after either football or Nets the rest of the way. Be with you again on Saturday. Didn't get a chance to talk too much about the Game 7. We'll get to that. We'll get to the Knicks win last night, 119-102 over the Wizards. The Rangers on a 3-game winning streak. A lot to get to. But we obviously start and take most of your calls on this now Tuesday morning, mainly about the lousy performance from the New York Giants. And yes, I was last week spent a lot of time talking about Brian Daboll. And, you know, most of it came up because I was constantly challenged on it because you guys disagree with it so much. I didn't want to keep just making that point, but I got challenged on it over and over again, especially in the 4 o'clock hour from the regulars. But I always thought they'd have to win some games, but I just view it a little bit differently. Like the owner said, you have to be in a better mood. And for me, I don't know how, as a Giant fan, you weren't in a better mood after the first four games of this quarterback, even with two of those being losses. I was just in a better mood. I was. I didn't expect this team to go to the playoffs. Two and two and having two big wins and to kick the crap out of the Eagles in primetime put me in a better mood. And not just for like that night. Like, it made me feel better about the team. It made me feel better about the coach. Made me feel better about the team. It made me feel better about where they're going. Didn't make me feel any better about myself, no, unfortunately. But I'm sorry, you know, and you know, I I reserve the right to change my mind, and I'm not even at the point where I certainly don't think Brian Daboll should be fired midseason. But I have to admit, sitting on my couch watching that football game and watching the way it went made me feel a hell of a lot different. He's going to have to now, you know, I mean, again, and here's my point about wins, right? They're 2-7. There's another 8 games coming. Like, is there a number that you would be willing, like if he wins a certain, if he wins 6 of those last 8 games, are you okay with him coming back? Like, that's what I would ask to someone who says, how can you, you know, how can you be okay with the losing? All right, so if he wins 6 of the next 2, 6 of the next 8, and they go 6-2 down the stretch, are you keeping him? Like, is there a number of wins he gets? If he gets 8 wins, if he gets if he wins 5 of the next 8 games, they go 5-3 down the stretch, and the quarterback plays great. You keeping him? Like, so that's why it's not so much just about wins and losses. It's level of play. And I thought the pushover, lousy Giants who were non-competitive were a thing of the past. I really did. And I know that was kind of what happened against the Eagles. That's a tough game. They have a brutal injury right there in the field where the kid's foot comes off. And they're playing defending champs on the road after beating them at home 34-17. Like, I was willing to excuse that one. The 49er game is inexcusable. There was no reason to be there, have their doors blown off by this banged-up 49ers team. Just no reason whatsoever. I mean, Mac Jones completed his first 13 passes. Like, it was so embarrassingly bad. And then the offense got stagnant too. Long, you know, third and longs, couldn't get the run game going after that first drive. After a first drive where they went right down the field, they did nothing the rest of the first half. Nothing. Just one of those games where it was back to being the same lousy Giants, non-competitive. And that's what can't happen. That's what can't happen. Vito in Marlboro. What's up, Vito?
How's it going, T-Mac? How are you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I heard you talking about the firing Daboll, and I wanted to agree with you that, you know, I don't think that he should be fired halfway through the season, especially with, you know, just the way that the Giants have been, when you compare it to last year,
mm-hmm.
like, this year, now you have, you know, some excitement behind the team, and it is because of, you know, Dart and Scadaboo, yeah. Even though, you know, Scadaboo goes down, but you still have that. We never had this before. Like, for years and years, it's been, you know, lousy.
Yeah. I was with you until Sunday, man. I was with you on that excitement until Sunday, Vito. Sunday beat it out of me. That performance against the Niners beat it out of me. I was with you. Young quarterback, playing great, offensive rookie of the month. Like, just everyone talking about how great he is. He's one of the talking points of the NFL season. The surprise of Jackson Dart and how well he's playing is one of the talks of the NFL season. They beat the crap out of the Eagles. They beat Jim Harbaugh and the undefeated at the time Los Angeles Chargers. They went into Denver and played a great game through three quarters. And I'm not dismissing what happened in the fourth quarter, but I'm just like, when's the last time they went on the road and dominated for 3 minutes, let alone 3 straight quarters against a team that's 7-2? Like, to me, that's still different, even though they found a way to lose that game. Like, it just still felt different to me. I was still on a little bit of the hype train of this quarterback playing well and the team's level reaching a new floor. Like, yeah, the ceiling wasn't good enough to go figure out a way to win the game, but the floor was much different. It was. You don't have to agree with me that's a reason to keep the coach. That's fine. But you can't deny that the floor was different for those 4 or 5 weeks. It just was. And then Sunday they went right through the floor and went back to being the same miserable team. And that's what's, like, we could talk about a lot of the different issues, right? The crowd, the players' reaction, the giving up, the lack of tackling, the lack of circling the ball, the idea that Christian McCaffrey is allowed to be wide open, the drop passes, the two false start penalties that killed the drive, like, just everything. But overall, just watching the game and knowing they don't have a chance. They're getting run over. They don't have a chance. And you knew it from the 49ers go right down the field and score, and then the Giants go three and out in that second drive, and you're just like, that's it. You could feel it. You could sense it. That's what I didn't want anymore. That's what I thought had been put behind us. Still could lose games, but they weren't going to be a cakewalk. They weren't going to be the team that all you had to do was throw your helmet on the field and you were going to beat the New York Giants. And that's what happened on Sunday. Danny in Michigan. What's up, Danny?
All right. If it would have been five quarters that game, the Giants would have won. You could see how Sala can't make any adjustments defensively. The Giants were scoring at will in the fourth quarter. Then back to the World Series. Come on, five quarters, the Giants would pull that out.
I don't know. The game isn't five quarters, and they're not coached like that. I mean, the defense plays a different game when they're up by multiple scores with minutes left, but that's okay. What about the World Series real quick?
Right. Isaiah Kind is opening a base running school. Did you see the tiny lead he was taking? Yeah. No secondary lead, yeah. And he slides. They slide into first base in the Little League.
Yeah.
There's no force plays at home in the Little League. But
no, I know. I'm with you. Well, there is a force play. It was a force play. But you're right. When you don't have to worry about staying on the base, you run through it. Correct. You run through first, you run through home, you slide into second and third. Yes. Now, multiple major leaguers have come out and said that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa played it by the book, that they feel in that situation that you're supposed to, with bases loaded, you're supposed to avoid the line drive to third base for the double up as much as possible. And that being close to the bag is the play, but I don't disagree with you. A couple of big leaguers, I forget who... Should have wrote it down. I saw a couple.
Whit Merrifield said it. Justin Turner said it.
Justin Turner. That's the one I saw.
And IKF said in the post game that the Blue Jays told him not to take a big lead.
No, I know. That's
because I was with you right after the game.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I guess I got to listen to these.
I guess you
got
to listen to it. Yeah, I mean, multiple big leaguers. I IKF said that's what the team wanted to do. He still should have run through it. That's 100%. He shouldn't have slid. That was a mistake. But staying now, when they say stay close to the bag, I mean, he was like right on the bag. I thought he could have got a better lead than that. But
do you think the night before impacted it?
The idea that they got
the double off.
They
second.
Got doubled off second. Yeah, probably. Probably fearful that they hit line drives. You want to make sure, if it's a low line drive, you want to make sure you can get back to third base to tag on it. Like, there's a couple of reasons to be close to the bag there. But look, they just the Dodgers made the plays. Rojas made the plays. I mean. They hung a slider. And the other night, game six, I mean, the amount of crying about that ball stuck in the wall and everything else that, that ball stuck in the wall didn't kill them. I don't know why so many people think it did. The only argument to say that it killed them is that the umpire should have never called it stuck in the wall and that he should have raised his hand and the time should have just kept going and... Barge would have been at least third, maybe home if the umps did that. But you can't say that they caught a bad break by the ball. And the ball, clearly, you can see the fence bubbled up. The ball is stuck in there. That's the rule. It wasn't just laying there and he held up his hand. You could tell it was in the wall. If that ball bounces off the wall like a normal play, yeah, maybe a run scores, but it's still Barge at second base. He's not getting to third there. Like, I don't think they got... listen, would you rather have not had that? Sure, I guess it's a bit of a bad break. At least one run scores and maybe things change. I don't know. But it wasn't like they win the game if that ball doesn't hit off the wall or if that ball doesn't get stuck in the wall. The amount of complaining, that's still a terrible base running play by Barger. He got doubled off on a play to end game six of the World Series and the left fielder didn't even have to leave his feet. The left fielder caught it chest high. It wasn't even a shoestring catch. And then, obviously also on the final out, I mean, there's so many to get to in that game, but the final out, the double play, you have to stay out of that double play. I don't even know if they throw through, honestly, with a runner at third base. You probably have a free bag there. You cannot allow that double play with the slowest base runner on the planet hitting into an easy double play. And I tweeted this out, and some people will call it sour grapes or whatever. It is what it is. I'm just pointing it out. The irony that the Toronto Blue Jays and their approach and their contact first and their, you know, they put the ball in play. The idea that they lost on the only play where a strikeout would have been better than the contact is just, it's funny. It's not, that's not me saying he should have swung and missed on purpose or anything. He wanted to put the ball in play, but it's just ironic. It's ironic they lose on a double play when a strikeout would have been better. That's all. It's just ironic.
Ironic like the Yankees losing a World Series because their best two players, Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge, have like the worst moments of their career.
Yeah, just ironic just like that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I can't even throw Jets at you because you're on this anti-Jet thing. I'm trying to think of what I can give you. I'm sure there are, you know, there's a lot of ironic things about the Mets not making the playoffs. But I'm not going to play that game. But yeah, it was ironic to me. But they had every chance, man. I'm sorry. I know I'm the Jays or the frauds guy. They went toe-to-toe with the best team in baseball. They're not frauds. But they ain't champions either. And they had every opportunity to be. The Dodgers won the series, no doubt. You have to hit the home run. You also have to hang the slider to one of the worst hitters in baseball. Or at least on their team. You also have to make the blunders they made. You also have to not slide into home. You also have to not steal second base for that double play. You also have to hit into the double play. You also have to do a lot of things that they did to blow the series. They were dominant in that building all year. They went home needing one game in their building, and they couldn't get it done. And they had a lead in Game 7. So, Jays had every opportunity. And the main thing about this is, let's see if they come back. When you go on this run, you better win. The 13 and 18 Red Sox did it. The 19 Washington Nationals did it. The 23 Rangers did it. You want to be a one-off? You want to be a team that was in last place last year and get to the World Series? It's not good enough to get there. I'm sorry. I'm sure the Blue Jays fans are thrilled with this season. They had to win because I don't know if Bichette's going to be back. I certainly don't think Springer's going to have the same kind of year. Let's see if the Blue Jays are what the Yankees have been. Because right now, all they are is the same thing. American League champs and World Series losers. But let's see if they have the staying power that the Yankees have shown, that the Dodgers, like, because I know, like, if the Dodgers would have lost Game 7, all right, they'll be back next year. Or at least competing for one. I have no idea what the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be next year. Because if you think Ernie Clement is going to continually get more hits than anybody in the history of baseball every postseason, you're wrong. Carlos in Clifton. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, Chris. How you doing? I totally agree with you on the they got to get something for this kid going forward.
Yeah.
You already have your quarterback. Yeah. You got to trade whatever you need to trade
mm-hmm.
to get something for him to continue his development.
Right.
Now, also, I think you got to send a message to the defense, too. I mean, the coordinator got to go. If anybody has to go off the Giants right now, you got to get rid of the coordinator because, you know, this is game after game after game. Like, I can't say that much. After the Denver game, it's like they started tuning them out, the defensive coordinator.
They don't believe in this guy anymore. Something happened in that game. Those injuries to Adebo and Holland in that game have absolutely torn that defense apart. And that's not an excuse, because it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Those two injuries should not bring the defense to its knees like this. One, the talent that is taking over for them should be better. That's on the GM. And two, the level of play, even with that talent, should be more competitive and should be more aggressive and should be less, like, you know, missing tackles and not caring the way this team has. So it's on both. It's on the GM, it's on the defensive coordinator, and it's on the head coach. But something happened when those two guys went down. And there's a different feel when they're playing Banks and they're playing, you know, guys who were on the Jets practice squad at the end of last week. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable in every way. That defensive performance was unacceptable. Watching Banks get run over like that was just the perfect ending to an unbelievably horrendous defensive performance. And again, Dexter Lawrence is a major talking point here. What has happened to him? What has happened to him? He has, like, he had one or two pressures up the middle in the game that I can even remember. And he got called for a penalty, a defensive holding, and the broadcast even said, that's the first time we're mentioning Dexter's name. This is a dude who was a dominant force. What the hell has happened to Dexter Lawrence? He is a shell of himself. And let's be honest, this front four that's supposed to get after the... Like, I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if they're just not playing well. Burns is the only guy. The effort is there from the other two. And I can't say the effort isn't there from Dexter Lawrence. It just doesn't feel like it because when he gives effort, he dominates. And we're not seeing that. But I watch the game. You know, you watch the game. Thibodeau's just not very... He's not that good. He's okay. He's a serviceable player. But his effort level seems to be there. Carter is a rookie. He's winning some matchups. He's not playing nearly as well as we had hoped or what we thought he would be coming out of Penn State and out of that draft. But I watch him, and I feel like the effort's there. And Burns is clearly dominating. He's having an all-pro type season. But they're not getting home. They're not creating pressure. And I'm sorry, I know you'd like to bring exotic blitzes and everything, and we're going to get on the defensive coordinator, and I'd be open to it. But it's hard to blitz when these are the—like, if you don't get home, you're leaving these guys out on an island. They're terrible. You want to blitz, you better get home because you're going to leave guys one-on-one who can't cover. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Well, Chris, I'll say this about the World Series. Now I know how much I despise the Dodgers because I was rooting hard. Not only was I rooting hard for Toronto, it was not lost on me that up until that guy tied the game in the ninth inning, the losing pitcher at that point was Ohtani.
Yeah.
Oh, was I disappointed? Was I disappointed that I would root. I'll tell you, pick a country. I would root for Putin against the Dodgers.
Well, that's not all right. Let's
seriously.
Not go crazy here.
No,
but yes,
I'm just making a point, Chris.
I get you.
I get you.
Listen,
and
now
I am.
You know, now they are the enemy. You know, they are the enemy. They are that you do not want to see them win three in a row. Someone's got to stop this team. Hopefully, it's the Yankees.
What you have been saying about Dort? Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's frame it like this. He's got next to nothing at wide receiver.
Yeah.
All right. And look what he's managing to do. My only problem is that in the NFL, if you're a quarterback and you're going to be a runner and you're not going to slide,
he's got to take care of himself.
You are going to get slammed.
Yeah.
And he took that double hit. And when he got to the sideline, I couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, he was really... You know, agonizing.
Yeah. No, I know. I know, and I got a break. No, I understand your point. And this is something I'll push back on Dable as well. I know he's playing late in the game. We obviously saw what happened with Jaden Daniels. Just a terrible, devastating injury. Another ugly one to watch. This game was pretty much over, and you let the kid go out there and still run the football. It's not so much. I watch it, and I don't see this coach putting the quarterback inherently in a dangerous position. He's got to either, and it's on the coach too, he's got to coach it in him. But you can see, just on a scramble, right? I forget which play it was, or which drive it was in, but he had a scramble, and he ran for like 12 yards, and he had every opportunity to just run out of bounds. And instead, he took on contact as he was going out of bounds to get the extra yard or something, and it was already a first down. That's just dumb. He's got to be better than that. He's got to recognize it. Look, if it's third down and you need that yard for a first down and a big critical drive, you're not going to be able to coach that out of a kid. That's competitiveness. That's trying to win the football game. God bless and hope you're okay. But like when it's third and six and you've already scrambled for 11, you don't need to take on contact to make it 12 or 13. He's got to get down. He's got to slide. He's got to be smarter about it. And I put that on the coach too. He's got to drill it into this kid to do it. He's going to get himself hurt. I don't think they inherently call so many run plays or that they're doing too many dangerous things with him. I really don't. That's his style of play, and anytime you have a quarterback with that style of play, yeah, inherently it's going to risk him at on some level. But I don't think they're overdoing it. I don't think they're constantly calling runs for him. Like, I think that he ends up on broken plays because his wide receivers can't get open, that he ends up prolonging these plays and, you know, running and then being careless when he runs. And it wasn't even a bad hit. It wasn't even one where he came off limping or came like he was fine from it. But I just remember thinking that's the kind of stuff you can't do. You can't take on contact when you've already got the first down looking for an extra yard or two. That you just can't do it. He's got to be smarter than that. You're never going to be able to stop him from battling for that first down if it's between, you know, going out of bounds and falling short or taking on contact and getting the first down. That's just something he's going to do. But he's got to be smarter on plays where he's either way short of the first down or already has it. And he's still looking for contact. But it's not like another coach would come in here and take that out of him. Like, I've heard people say, oh, this coach is going to get him killed. What, you think another coach is going to come in here and say, don't ever run? Well, then he's not going to be as good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.